Now, before I break into the Word, I just want to share with you a little bit of the scene that Linda and I experienced this past week when we went down to the hospital to see Brianna. Brianna has pain. It's kind of mysterious. It's very intense. They're thinking she has some kind of a very rare disorder that causes her nerves to like overload and so on with the sensation. And the pain when she experiences that is throughout her entire body. And she had just a little bit of relief when we came by. But she was sharing this with us. How many of you heard over the past week or two that when she had initially been taken into the hospital, they began to give her pain medication, and they gave her more, they gave her more, they gave her more, and she actually was overdosed on the pain medication. Her heart stopped. How many of you knew that? Her heart stopped, and they were able to resuscitate her. She was sharing with us Thursday that she had one of those out-of-body experiences. She was up high, and she was looking down. And then she shared this. She shared that Jesus took her in his arms, that when he did, all of the pain was gone. And that he then spoke to her, and he said this, "Keep fighting. Keep fighting." Which raised the question in my mind, what does God have planned for this young lady that he would go to this kind of an extremity to put within her that kind of a heart that is combative toward the enemy, that kind of a heart, a determination, a perseverance? And she said that as other hospital staff was working with her, that they all then kept saying that same thing, keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting. It's possible for you and me to experience the Sabbath rest of Jesus Christ in our hearts at the same time that we keep fighting. We have high ambitions through this ministry. Not talking buildings and budgets and bodies, but in the spiritual realm. We want to see Satan put to flight in this community. And there are some who would say, well, Pastor, you know, he is so very powerful. No, he is not. He's a liar. The power of God is infinite. His power is limited, and his power is to deceive, and he would like nothing better than to just get you all alarmed and all upset and wondering what's going on in your life. Well, what's going on in your life is your living life. It rains on the just and on the unjust. There are no guarantees that we are given because this life is temporary. And this life is mere preparation for our real lives out there in eternity. And so praise God for what he is doing and keep fighting. Amen. And we fight not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the darkness of this age. And we fight not with simply our will and our determination. I've found that my will has limits, but the will of God does not. And so when I rest and lean back into him, his will is what continues the battle when I have come to the end of myself. Amen. Exodus chapter 25, beginning at verse 23, we're going to be talking about presence again today, and particularly we are going to be talking about the bread of presence, which some of you probably would recognize as being a reference to the bread, the showbread, that was in the Old Testament temple. It was in the holy place. They had tables of showbread, and it was changed every day. We're going to read about how it is that God spoke to that and gave the requirement to the people as they were building and making their tabernacle for the very first time in the time of Moses in the book of Exodus. And then we're going to fast forward into the book of John and begin to study what he said about the bread of life. His instructions, God's instructions to Moses and to the Israelites: make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long. How many of you know what a cubit is? Well, it was an ancient measurement, you know, the length from the elbow to the tip of the finger and so on. That was a cubit. Kind of inexact, because after all, everybody's arms are different length, but it was the best they could do. And so 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold and make a gold molding around it. Also make around it a rim 1 handbreadth wide and put a gold molding on the rim. Make 4 gold rings for the temple and fasten them to the 4 corners where the legs are. The rings are to be close to the rim to hold the poles used in carrying the table. Make the poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold, and carry the table with them. And by now, when I was a boy and I was reading this, I thought, yada, 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 yada. You know, I wanted action. Blah, 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 Moses. Blah, 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 Joshua. I found myself wondering, why on earth did God put all of this there? These things were used by God to teach truths about himself. And it was very, very important that the people do things exactly as God would say, because every small detail was to teach people truth about God himself. God wants to be recognized. He wants to be understood. He seeks to reveal himself. And so as he told them how to make these tables, as he went on and told them how to construct the furniture and where it was to be placed in the tabernacle, every bit of it had a very, very significant reason and taught us again a lesson about God. Make the poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold, and carry the table with them, and make its plates and dishes of pure gold, as well as its pitchers and bowls for the pouring out of offerings. Gold, because gold is pure. Gold, because gold is beautiful. Gold, because God is pure. Gold, because God is more valuable than anything else. Gold. But now, listen to what he says. Put the bread of the presence on this table to be before me at all times. Now, if you're seeing scripture behind me and above me, presence is capitalized. Put the bread of presence. And so it's referring to something representing the presence of God, the bread of presence. And I'd like you to consider this with me. As I've studied this, the tables of showbread were in the holy place. You had to walk past the bread of presence to get to the Holy of Holies. The Lord spoke to me about that and revealed this truth. In the Holy of Holies, that was considered to be the place where God dwelled. He was on the mercy seat, which was on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. In this place, the dwelling place on earth of the Father, but you had to go past the bread of presence, had to go past the bread of presence, had to walk past the bread of presence, so that every time a priest, the high priest alone, was walking toward the Holy of Holies and was going to enter in, he had to pass by the bread of presence. Well, let's look in the book of John, chapter 6. We'll begin to read at verse 28. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe it? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And so he is speaking of himself. "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For the Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Past the bread of presence, past the bread of presence, to get to the Holy of Holies, to get to the Father. No man comes to the Father except through me. I had an intention with the message. God has a way of taking my intentions, usually not completely negating them, but adding to them. I had an intention of bringing a message that was fundamentally going to be directed toward this, that we are to display the bread of presence in our life at all times. Because the bread of presence in the tabernacle was to be shared all the time. It had to continually be put back out. Every day, just as the manna was given by God on a daily basis, the bread of presence had to be replaced. They did not allow it to begin to decay and to see corruption. The bread was brought out by the priests, by the Levites, every day and every day and every day, and this went on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And there might have been some who would look at it and take it for granted and said, "Well, there go those priests again, putting out the bread of presence." And yet God required it. It was to be there. And so they did, over and over and over again. Let's look at this tabernacle then, the physical tabernacle that was to symbolize things related to God and what it is that it might teach us. In the tabernacle, the bread of presence was displayed prominently. They had tables. It wasn't something that was hidden away. You come into our household, you might have a little bit of a hard time finding the bread. I saw my dad, by the way, many years ago, try to find bread in his own kitchen. I learned a lesson about my dad. Mom was in the hospital. She'd always been the healthy one. He didn't know how to take care of himself. Ladies, how many of you think your husband has a hard time taking care of himself and that he needs you? Be honest and let me see your hands. That's what I thought. I happened by because I wanted to visit my mom in the hospital. I had heard that she was there and went by their house, and my dad was in the kitchen that he had built. He was in the kitchen. John, I can't find the bread. Dad, you might try the bread box. Well, I'll be. God wants Jesus Christ, who is our bread of presence, to be displayed prominently. Now, I've heard people say God is not displayed prominently in our society today, by which generally they mean you don't see a lot about him on television. How many of you have that figured out? You don't necessarily see a lot of him in a movie theater. You don't necessarily see a lot of him on billboards and things of that nature. And sometimes people will say, if people are going to know about God, we've got to put something out there before him to where they can see him. God thought of that. It's you. It's you that he wants to put out before the eyes of the world, so that people will see him in you. You have within yourselves the possibility through the power of the Holy Spirit to be continually, constantly displaying the bread of presence, and God wishes for it to be prominent in your life. Not in some self-righteous way, but to show God as he truly is. The bread of presence in the tabernacle was displayed prominently and constantly. Now, since Jesus is the bread of life, and we are the temples of God, Christ should be displayed in our lives in the same way that the bread of presence was displayed in the tabernacle. Now, take note again, this was not stale bread. The bread had to be replaced day by day. How many of you have figured out that this walk with God of the Holy Spirit is a daily walk? How many of you get out of bed every day not knowing where on earth the Holy Spirit is? You went to bed feeling pretty good about God, and you got up and you were on the wrong side of bed. I've heard people say, I'm not a morning person. I don't care if you're not a morning person. Be decent. Just thought I'd toss that out there. I find in my life that it's necessary for me to actually commune with God, to worship him, not just in the sanctuary of a church at a particular hour, but to be worshiping God through my life each hour of each day, and to focus my thoughts upon him, to remind myself of him, to practice the presence of God in my life, because when God is present in my life and being displayed, my life has power to be used by God. And when people see me, it's just not a pretty thing. When Jesus came to earth, I don't know where that came from, but I think JB just fled the sanctuary. Well, hope it wasn't my wife. When Jesus came to earth, he constantly displayed God's holiness, God's love, God's mercy, and his compassion. How many of you knew that when a business puts its name or its logo on the side of a vehicle, that they are incurring for themselves a potential liability? It's called the walking billboard. That is to say, if the name Schmutz and Schmutz is on the side of the truck, and someone in that truck actually commits a crime, there is a liability that accrues to Schmutz and Schmutz because of the fact that they were presenting something that gay people caused to believe that they were representing those very people. Did you know that? I wouldn't have known it if I hadn't studied insurance. I studied insurance. Oh, I studied insurance. I was a chartered underwriter in the state of Indiana. I studied insurance. I was kind of troubled by that. Do you mean that somebody could hijack that vehicle and they could drive around town doing all manner of evil and there's a liability accruing to the company? Yup, in addition to poor public relations. Well, it occurs to me that many of us have the name of God plastered on our life. And we are representing Him. And the only Bible that some people will ever read is you. And God has said in His Word that we are living epistles read by all men. He did not say, by the way, that we are to be living epistles. He said we are. People draw all kinds of conclusions about God when they look at us. And so if we don't represent the holiness of God, if we don't somehow show that, and I am not talking in some pharisaical, self-righteous kind of a manner that is primarily about deeds and about works, but if we don't show the holiness of God, then we are misrepresenting who He is. And if we do not show the love of God, we're misrepresenting who He is. And I believe, by the way, that it's only Jesus Christ who holds love and holiness together. Because in this world, if we try to lean over here and to grab hold of righteousness without holding on to love, we become full of self-righteousness. We become the Pharisee. We are misrepresenting God. And if we say, well, I'm going to take hold of the love of God over here, and we lean this way and we let go of holiness, we are misrepresenting the purity of God. Jesus Christ, as He stretches His arms out, they're not only arms of love and acceptance, but they're arms with which He is holding together things that only God can hold together. It's only in the person of Jesus Christ that we are able to display both love and holiness. And He constantly displayed God's mercy and His compassion. And so to display Christ in our lives, we must be careful to show all of Him, not just a part of Him. And the question I had at the conclusion in these notes was, what part of Christ are you most likely not to show? And what is God telling you to do about it? But I think we ought to go on for at least a couple of moments. The power to live the life that God wants us to live is only in the continuing presence of God in our lives. It's not simply that we reflect somehow this bread of life by talking to people about Jesus and showing Him. We have to actually receive the bread of life and feed on it every day. Because it's that gives us the power of God within. When I receive to myself the sufferings of Jesus Christ, the broken body of Jesus Christ, I am expressing faith in Him and Him alone for my salvation. No man comes to the Father except by me, says Jesus. No man is able to come to God. No man is able to stand before Him. No man, no woman is able to have the power of God except they have the presence of Jesus Christ in their life. You can't have the presence of the Father without the presence of the Son. And that is something that we receive by faith, and we make decisions of faith day by day by day by day. And it's why Jesus said that we are to not neglect this communion, but we are to do it in remembrance of him until he returns. And he's not back yet. But he's coming. Clock's running. I think personally that we're in the fourth quarter. I think we might be nearing, if we're not in, the final possession of the game. And I believe that God has seen fit to put you on the great playing field of history at the time that the game is coming to its conclusion. So God must have confidence in you. And you ought to have as much confidence as God has. But he doesn't have confidence in you because of you. He has confidence in you because of him. He is able. And so we receive the bread. We receive the body of Christ. We, by faith, symbolically are receiving him and drawing our nurture from him. We are internalizing him. And we receive the blood of Jesus Christ. Because only through the blood of Jesus Christ are our sins atoned, and can we stand in the presence of a holy God. It is the blood that makes us holy. I'd like our ushers to come, and they're going to be passing out these elements of communion. Pastor Mitch, would you come wherever you are in this great auditorium, this stadium? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would consecrate these elements just now. Consecrate the bread. Consecrate the wine. We pray, Heavenly Father, that it would become a powerful, powerful thing within us, that it would come to have your life within it. Lord, as we receive it, I pray we would receive it in faith and not unworthily. And help us, Lord, to understand that unworthiness in receiving the communion of Jesus Christ is not unworthiness because of our actions, but unworthiness because of a lack of faith. And so we put our faith and our trust in you, and we pray that you would speak to us, minister to us, and allow us to glorify you in doing this morning in your name. Amen. Our bread, by the way, is gluten-free, which might not seem like much to many of you, but for those who have the allergies, that's quite important, we realize.
Just as Christ broke the bread in the upper room with the disciples, we have the bread here with us today, representing the body of our Lord, Christ Jesus. Take this in remembrance of him.
I'm thinking about the old chorus, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had lost it, had left its crimson stain. He made it white as snow. Yes. Heavenly Father, we put our faith and our trust only in you. We understand that we cannot justify a single deed, but it is your blood that has cleansed us and washed us and made us white as snow. And the other chorus that came through my mind, I have decided to follow Jesus. How many of you have decided to follow Jesus? How many of you know the chorus? I have decided to follow Jesus. Go ahead and start singing. I can't lead.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. You're dismissed. Thank you.